What's up, Faith Builders? Amen. I got mine. Thank you. You may be seated. Don't stand for me. Stand for my dad, Pastor David Lazo. It's so good to be here in Phoenix, Arizona. Come on. What a heat wave I'm experiencing out here in Phoenix, coming from Colorado Springs. It's beautiful. It's so funny to be out here and see people in beanies and sweaters. And I was telling the group yesterday, I was like, how cute. You guys look so cute in your little sunny beanie. And I love it. This is the kind of weather that in Colorado we're out in t-shirts and shorts, and it's a heat wave, and we're loving it. But I am so honored to be here this morning, and I feel like God has a word for each and every person that's here this morning. But before I do that, I just want to just introduce myself a little bit. I know you're probably wondering, who's this young, handsome, good-looking guy, short little Costa Rican guy gonna tell me about the Bible? And so I just want to introduce myself. My name is Israel. My wife and I, we used to pastor in California, and we moved out to Colorado Springs. And since then, God has just opened up doors for me to have the honor of traveling all over the country and just preaching the gospel and helping churches just grow and do amazing things. And I love that I get to do what I do. So it's an honor to be here to be able to serve you. And can I just say, your pastor is amazing. She's so cool. She's so young and hip. And when we talked on the phone a couple weeks ago, it was just like talking to family. It was, there was just a connection, and it was so wonderful. And so when I came here and I got to hug her for the first time, we just felt like we've known each other forever. And getting to meet your parents this morning is even more amazing. And the legacy that has been built here, and it's just awesome to see and experience and be a part of. So thank you for having me here. Everybody has been so wonderful since yesterday, and so thank you. Thank you for allowing me. Can we get it one more time for your pastor? So I am missing my kids and my wife. I think we have a picture of her and them. Let me introduce you. I know, right? Right there in the middle, that's me. The handsome guy in the middle. And then this is my wife, Sophia. And we've known each other since we were little kids in church, Sunday school. I was 5, she was 2. And we just grew up with each other all the way through. There was a season where we missed each other a little bit. You know, her family moved and we moved. And I always tease her. I'm like, I miss the ugly years. You know what I mean? The braces and the teeth and the whole thing. And she says, well, I miss the fat years. And like, she gives it back to me. But we love that that our story, we've just kind of been able to be together after all these years. And this is my oldest daughter here, Charlotte Grace, and she lives up to her name. She's graceful and very dainty and sassy, and she's a princess. And then Arielle Brave, she lives up to her name as well. She's very brave. She throws herself off couches and in the mud and then wants to put on a princess dress at the end of the day. So she's just beautiful and lovely. And then my boy, the heir to the throne. Keys to the kingdom. Zion David, he just turned 11 months this weekend. And so he looks like a really, really baby there. But he's 11 months now. We're getting ready to celebrate 1 year next month. And I'm so excited. Dads, you just know. Like when you just have your boy, you're like, this is my son. You know, and you're already planning everything. Right now he's mama's boy, but I've got plans. I've got plans, and I've told my wife, I said, I am going to live my dream through my son. I'm going to be that parent. Dad, I don't like hockey. Get out on the rink. Go play. You're all the way through. I'm going to invest he's going to live my dream. I'm going to just force it on him, and there's going to be so much resentment, but it'll be fine. I'm going to be a professional hockey player through my son. Amen.
But I'm honored to be here today, and I know God has a word for you. So we're going to dive right in because I'm already running out of time. I've got 5 minutes left, so we're going to I'm just kidding. Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to share a story, and then we're going to talk about Jesus today. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36. We're going to read a lot. You can look up on the screen behind me if you don't have the Bible with you, or just kind of peek over at your neighbor and just kind of look over. In fact, look at just judge your neighbor a little bit. Do they have a Bible today? Just judge them a little bit. Give them a little awkward, like, where's your Bible? Especially the ones that pull out their phone for the Bible, just kind of be like, as I'm up here with my iPad. All right. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. It says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and he sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. And then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, who did he say this to? Himself. He didn't say it to anybody else. He didn't say it out loud. He said it to himself. He said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Come back. Sometimes the Bible preaches itself. Jesus answered his thoughts. And I love that he's saying, if this man were a prophet, and Jesus turned around and answers his thoughts. I love that. Anyway, okay, all right. Sometimes you just got to read the Bible. Jesus answered his thoughts, and he says, Simon, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to another. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more than that? More after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he canceled the larger debt. And Jesus says, that's right. Then he turned to look at the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. She has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and there are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us today, and we pray that right now you would open up our hearts wide this morning and that we would receive what you have for us, that we would leave this place completely brand new, transformed, and changed for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Any dog lovers in the house? Dog lovers. All right, cat lovers. Okay, we're judging those people. Everybody look at the cat people. Look at the cat people. Just give them a weird look. Dog people, you're my people. I love dogs. But here's what I've learned. I can't own a dog like longer than 3 years. I know that you're judging me now. I know. I've tried. Growing up, my parents, they would always get a dog and we would have that dog for a limited amount of time. And for some reason, one reason or another, we would have to get rid of that dog. Hey, you know, we don't spend a lot of time with that dog and we just gotta, you know, we gotta let him go. Or that dog's making a big mess, we gotta let him go. And so that was my childhood growing up, dog after dog after dog. It was always, you know, we're excited for dog and then we just don't want the dog anymore. And then a couple years later, we're excited for a dog. Please, can we have a puppy? And then we get the dog and then we don't want the dog anymore. And that's kind of the trajectory of my childhood. And finally, I become my own man. And I get married, and I have my own family. And the first thing I do with my wife is I say, we are going to get a dog. And we're going to keep this dog. And she says, okay, let's get this dog. And so we go out, and a friend was giving a dog away. And it was the little, you know, kind of runt of the litter, a little terrier. And we were so excited to get this terrier. We brought her home. And we realized very quickly that this terrier was very, very timid. You couldn't do anything with this terrier. You would call her. Her name was Violet. And you'd say, Violet, come here. And she would back up and then just go on the carpet, you know, because she was so scared. And so we had to be very, very gentle with her and very calm. And I wanted to play fetch with my dog. But I couldn't even get my little dog to come to me. And so I started talking to my wife after a few months of having Violet. And I said, I don't think we can keep Violet anymore. And she said, what? But Violet is amazing. I said, I can't even play fetch. How am I going to keep this dog? What's the future of our life going to look like with a dog who doesn't play fetch? So we decided that we were going to get another dog because she didn't want to let Violet go. And so I said, well, I need to get my own man dog. And so I got myself another dog, and he was a shepherd mix. Beautiful dog, and we named him Pike. And I said, not Spike. It's not my accent. His name was Pike. And I said, we got Pike. And he was named after a Pike roast coffee. And so Pike came into the scene. And so we had Pike and we had Violet. And Pike was the best dog in the world. He was the kind that would play fetch. I didn't even have to teach him how to play fetch. He just played naturally. I'd throw the ball. He would run after it, pick it up, and naturally just bring it back. And I said, thank you, Lord, because this is the dog that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And what we started to realize is that because he was a shepherd mix, he shed everywhere around the house. And so my wife says, we cannot keep this dog. She would start faking allergies and have sneeze. And I, you know, it's everywhere. It's all over our clothes. And she would start sneezing all over the place. And I'm like, that's a fake sneeze. And she, we can't keep this dog. And I said, fine, if we get rid of Pike, then we have to get rid of Violet. And that's not fair. And so we were going back and forth. Finally, we decided that we were going to get rid of both dogs. Because that's what marriage is about, compromise, right? And so we got rid of both dogs. And we vowed that we would never get another dog again. A few years later, we got a golden doodle. Because that's the cool thing to do. And so I said, we're going to get a golden doodle. And this was like the real deal, like straight breed golden doodle. And we had, at the time, Charlotte was only 2 years old. So it was cute that they were together. And she had her little dog. And we were playing fetch. And he was just an amazing dog. And little by little, he started scratching the carpet, and this is like not just as a puppy, this is as like an older dog now. Like he's like, we had him for 3 years. I'm proud of that. We had him for 3 years, and he would just scratch the carpet and he would scratch the baseboards. And I'm like, how do dog people do this? Like, dogs are cute when you see them at someone else's house, but they don't tell you how much responsibility it takes to keep the dog forever. This is too much work. So recently, we got rid of Beckham. And the good news is that Beckham, because I have this weird obsession with Beckham. Do I look like him? You're like, no, absolutely not. We gave Beckham to a family friend who lives there in Colorado Springs. And so we do go see him and visit him often so we can get, you know, that experience of having the dog and being, but not having the responsibility of having him come home with us. What I realized through this process, as much as I love dogs, we are not dog people. That is just the truth, the fact that I have to accept. No matter how hard I try to change, I have to understand we're just not dog people. we're dog lovers, but we're not dog owners. There's a difference. And sometimes you have to come to this realization. You have to accept the fact who you are, and we are just not dog people. Have you ever been so excited to start off a journey? You're so filled with passion to follow Jesus. And you get excited at the beginning of it. You're starting this new life with him. But then through the process, you start to experience some trials and heartache and pain and struggle. And you start to question, why did I sign up for this? The passion that you had at the beginning starts to kind of whittle away. Is this what it's like to be a Christian? Is now that there's a responsibility, now that there's some effort that needs to be put into my relationship with Jesus, I got to read the Bible every day. I got to pray every day. I got to go to church. I got to live this life. And you start to realize, like, this might be a little bit harder than I thought. I remember that Sunday that I raised my hand and I accepted Jesus and I'm crying. I'm like, thank you, Lord, for saving my life. But that was 20 years ago. Is that passion still inside of me? Am I still excited? Am I still following the ways of the Lord? And I think a lot of us, maybe we're here today and that passion is gone, but we're still here just out of it's the right thing to do. We start to live this life based on a moral compass, a behavior. Maybe we grew up with a well-rounded family and just going to church was the right thing to do. Why are we going to church today? Just because... because it's the right thing to do. Not because there's a passion. Not because we're on fire for Jesus, but just because it's the routine. I think about this story and how beautiful this story is. But can I tell you that it is very, very awkward? I want you to think about the context here for a second. There's a dinner party going on. And a woman who was absolutely not invited shows up. And this is not just any ordinary woman. This is a woman of the night who shows up uninvited and starts being all over the guest of honor. You can see how awkward this must feel. I want you to imagine that you're hosting a party. Maybe last night or today, and you have friends that come over, and a random stranger comes knocking on your door and walks right in and starts eating the food and enjoying the... How would you feel if that was happening? I don't know about you, but it would be very, very awkward for me. I would stop that person and say, I'm sorry, do I know you? Are you supposed to be here? Who are you? What are you doing in my house? How did you get in? This woman finds her way in. She hears that Jesus is going to be there, and she does everything she can to make her way into this house. And Simon gets a little judgy because he knows who she is, even though she wasn't invited. I just wonder, when we read this story, who can you relate to more, Simon or the woman? Jesus compares the two, and God is asking us about our adoration and our worship and our passion for Jesus. And as I'm reading this, I'm like, what does this woman know that I don't know? Why is this woman like this? What kind of Jesus does she know? Because she doesn't belong on this scene. She's in a holy man's house at a holy man's dinner. And I'm thinking to myself, does she know something that I don't know? And I wonder if this passage is here to provoke us. Where is our passion for Jesus in our lives? In verse 39, if we go back, it says, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner. Now, this is really important. Let's talk about this context here. Because back in those days, you would not be called a sinner if you did little sins. You tracking with me? So everybody sinned. But if you did little sins, You were not called a sinner. You were only called a sinner if you had public displayed sins that everybody knew about. Then you would be called a sinner. So this man has the audacity to call her a sinner because her sins were known. What is Simon doing? He is doing what we all do if we're being honest with ourselves. He is secretly categorizing her in his heart and in his mind. And can I tell you that this is not from God? This sabotages our passion and our desire for God. By Simon putting her in a lower category, he is also putting himself simultaneously in a higher category. And when you put yourself in a higher category from someone else, you begin to whittle away your need for a savior. As if you've done something to save yourself. He has the audacity to look at this woman and call her a sinner without any inward reflection of his own life. How many of us are guilty? Don't raise your hand. Because I know the answer is all of us. Isn't it crazy that we come to church and we raise our hands and we love the Lord and man, we're on fire. Jesus, thank you. But the moment we see someone else in the street who sins or their sins are known, all how do we feel? We just feel a little. There's that little bit of like, Right? These people need a savior. No one says out loud, but we all say it in our hearts, don't we? He said it to himself. Can I just tell you that this woman knows exactly what category she's in? She's not trying to be somebody that she's not. She knows she's lost. She knows she's bad. And she accepts it. And guess what? She needs a savior. That's why she was so passionate about finding Jesus and being in the same room, because she knew that she needed a savior. She, no matter what she tried to do in her life, she knew she needed a savior. No matter how much I tried to be a dog lover, I knew deep down inside, I am not a dog owner. I have to accept that. This woman here, she's like, I need a savior. I'm not trying to go into the tabernacle and raise my hands like I've got it all together. I'm not trying to figure out and plan life all by myself. I know I need a savior. We're all lost. We're all broken. We all need a savior. And just because you don't sin the same way as someone else doesn't mean you don't sin. We all have sinned. And God so loved the world. God loves all the broken people so much. Can I share something with you? I'm going to share this quote that I spent hours hearing from the Lord for this quote. This is the tweetable quote. This is the Instagram quote, the Facebook. This is the one he deposited in me directly from him. You ready for it? Get ready to write it down. You got your notes? Everybody's like, no notes? Wait, we're supposed to take notes? Okay, here we go. Titus, put it up on the screen. God loves very, very bad people very, very much. Can I say it one more time? Because I know you're still writing it. There's a couple varies in there. God loves very, very bad people very, very much. The only people Jesus had a problem with were the ones who didn't think that they were very, very bad. God loves very, very bad people very, very much. God loves Phoenix very, very much. God loves Arizona very, very much. And there might be a lot of things going on, but God still loves people here. God loves people inside faith builders. God loves people that are outside of faith builders. Very, very much. The people that say, I'm messed up. I'm in pieces. Jesus can work with that. Now, let me ask you this. Just be honest. When I said that quote, that deep, intelligent, philosophical quote, who did you think about? Maybe your neighbor. Maybe your coworker. Maybe someone you just met the other day. Someone you saw on the street. There might be some people that have popped into your head. Can I tell you that it's very few the people that think about themselves when I say that quote? And that right there proves this Pharisee mindset that might be stuck in there still, where automatically we hear this quote and we thought about five other people instead of ourselves. God loves me, a very, very bad person, very, very much. Are we being honest with ourselves today? That's okay. Keep chewing on this. I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot. You're probably coming in this morning like, I thought we were going to. No, this isn't. She said comedy show. No. Wait. That was yesterday. We got to think about ourselves. God loves very, very bad people. Very, very much. And I'm thankful for a Savior that loves me. Very, very much. I need a Savior. I want you to notice that there's a posture change. There's a posture change in this passage. The Bible says that Jesus was sitting there and he is looking at the woman, but he's talking to Simon. Did you notice that? I think because you got to read the Bible. You can't just read. You got to read it. Can I give you a visual? I'm just going to give you a visual real quick. So they're sitting down like this. Cameras, follow me here real quick. This is how they're sitting. Now, do I look like Beckham? Not yet. All right, it's okay. I'm working out. So here's Jesus. They're sitting here. His feet are out. They're eating. Mary Magdalene's right here, and she's washing his feet, and she's crying, and she's just in need of a Savior. And Jesus is looking at Mary, but talking to Simon. And he says, Simon, do you see this woman here? Do you see how she's taken care of me the moment I got here? Do you see the passion that she has for me? Do you see how much she needs a Savior? And you didn't do anything. And again, he's not even looking at him. He's just, you didn't do this. You didn't greet me this way. Because maybe you lost your passion. But she knows that she needs a Savior. Maybe you've gotten used to being in church. But she remembers and knows who she is, that she needs a Savior. Maybe you think you've got it all together, but she knows that she's messed up. And I just wonder this picture here where Jesus today is looking at the world, but talking to the church. And just saying, you know, you barely make it on Sundays. But this woman here, this one, they need a Savior. Oh, you barely read your Bible. But this woman here, she seeks me every single day. She knows she needs a Savior. Are you tracking with me? Because I think we reach a point where we get so comfortable with the routine because it's the right thing to do. But here, Jesus is calling us higher and saying, church, where are you? Look at where my focus is. Look at where my heart is, where my posture is. You're saved, but there's still a world that is in need of a Savior. and I need you to get your act together. Stop thinking you're in another category, because just like I saved this woman, I saved you too. Do you remember? God loves very, very bad people very, very much. And he's trying to get the attention of his church. She loves a lot because she has been forgiven a lot. She knows this. Do you feel like you've been forgiven much? Or just a little bit along the way? It's the little bit along the way that sabotages our need for a Savior. It's the here and there. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, if I can only remember daily what Jesus saved me from. Help me to remember how much I need a Savior. It was all Jesus. She doesn't trust herself to save herself. She knows that she needs Jesus. And I love this, because then she pours this box filled with perfume. Can I tell you why perfume is so important? It's not just, oh, because it smells good, or, oh, this is all I have. This is her livelihood. This is her moneymaker. She's a woman of the night. So in order for her to make money, she needs to smell good. Do you understand? So in this moment, she's not just pouring out what she has. She's pouring out her life on Jesus and saying, this is all yours. I'm giving it all to you. Her livelihood, her income. She throws it out. Says, I don't want this life anymore. I'm surrendering to you. I'm all in. Luke chapter 18, just a couple chapters. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Jesus tells this other story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness. Ooh. Anybody? Anybody? All right. Jesus tells this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. And he says, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not like that other guy over there, those cheaters and sinners and adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector over there. I fast twice a week, and I've given you a tenth of my income. Meanwhile, the tax man slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands. Not daring to look up, said, God, have mercy. Forgive me, a sinner. And Jesus commented, this tax man, not the other man, went home made right with God. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. Simply yourself. I think this morning God wants us to reflect not on who we pretend to be, but who we really are. Simply yourself. Live in the truth of who you are in the context of the gospel. We are lost without him. You will become more than yourself when you meet with Jesus and develop a life-changing relationship with him. God begins to exalt you. God will take you places and lead you places and order your steps. And he has a plan that will blow your mind if you are simply yourself in need of a Savior. And so my prayer today is that there are people in this room that will open up their hearts, that they'll take off the mask of what you think people want to see, that they will take off all this other garments that they put on to make themselves look like they've got it all together and receive what Jesus wants to really do in their life. Who do you identify more with in this story? Simon or Mary? Are you the kind that wants to keep putting on the facade, inviting people over to your house, having parties? Or are you willing to bow at the feet of the Savior and say, Jesus, take my life. Do what only you can do, because I can't do it anymore. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give an opportunity for some people who might be in the room for the first time, maybe the first time in a really long time. Maybe you talked to Jesus a long time ago, but it's been a minute. And now you're here, and this message was for you. This was a moment for you to say, wow, of all the places I could have been today, I'm here. And Jesus is speaking to me now. Can I just remind you that your sin is not greater than your Savior? There's nothing that you've done that could be outside of His grace. He can still save you. And He wants to save you. And you can start brand new today. So if that's you and you're here and you're hearing this message, and you're saying, yeah, I want to start a relationship with Jesus. I'm passionate. I'm feeling good. I want Him to save me. I need a Savior. I'm tired of doing it by myself. I can't anymore. I know who I am. And I am a very, very bad person. And God still loves you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand where you are? I want to pray for you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. I see hands all across this room. I see your hand back there. Thank you. I see all these hands going up. Amen. Let's do something fun. Let's all pray this prayer together. Everybody, just pray it out loud. Just say something like this. Say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I've messed up. But I know you still love me. Forgive me today. Make me brand new. Be Lord of my life. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give a hand clap for all the people that raised their hand this morning? That's awesome. For those of you who raised your hand, if you don't have a church to go to, get plugged in here. Get around community. Get around the people that are going to help you on this journey. Get around people that are going to keep that fire going in your life. That you don't change 1 month or 1 year down the road and like, I don't think I'm a Christian person anymore. No, no, no. Stay with it. Remember, I need a Savior. I've done no saving of my own. And so you've got to get around the right house, and this is the right house. This is the place to be. Would you stand with me? I want to do one more prayer. Because I feel like there's some people here that maybe, again, if you're being honest with yourself, maybe you identified yourself as Simon. Maybe you're the one that, yeah, I accepted Jesus a long time ago, but I've got it all figured out now. I'm good. Maybe there's some of you who maybe need a posture change today. Maybe you just need a little heart adjustment. And so here's what I'll ask. I'll ask you to do what Simon didn't do. I'll ask you to come up to this altar and surrender your life again. And just say, God, you know what? I'm sorry that I've been a Christian for 20 years, and I still want to find myself at the front of the altar saying, Jesus, I need you. And I read this story over and over and over again, and never did I see Simon apologize, change his heart. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, you're right. Here, let me get down there with her. Let me help. Jesus just calls him out and he's like, we have an opportunity to come to the feet of Jesus and say, God, I'm sorry. Change me. So if that's you, would you just come to this altar? I just want to pray over you. I want you to take that step of faith today and just as a representation, coming to the feet of Jesus, coming to the altar, what Simon didn't do, you get to do today. And say, God, I'm here. I'm a very, very, very bad person, and I know that you love me very, 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 very much. I need you. I need you every day. I need you today. I need you tomorrow. I need you next week. I can't go another day without you. Reignite that passion in me. Reignite that fire in me. I want to tell the world about how good Jesus has been to me. I still see people making their way up to the altar. We've got room right up here. We've got room right in this corner over here. And right there where you are, would you just raise your hands? And in your own words, just surrender to him. In your own words, you know what he's brought you out of. You know what he saved you from. You know what your life used to be. You know who you used to be. But today, Jesus changes that again. Just raise your hand and just say, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my life to you. Lord, remind me that I didn't save myself. Lord, remind me every day that I need a Savior. Remind me every day that I can't do this without you. I need you, Jesus. I need you in my life. Father, I just pray for every person that has taken a step this morning. I pray for every person that finds themselves at your feet. God, that you would touch them, that you would anoint them, that you would welcome them, that you would open up your arms for them again and say, yep, I'm right there with you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, for loving us. Thank you, Lord. Come on, can you just say, thank you, Jesus? Come on, can you say thank you, Jesus, like he saved you? Say thank you, Jesus, like he's brought you out. Say thank you, Jesus, like he's changed your life. Say thank you, Jesus, like you've turned on sin and you're running to heaven. Say thank you, Jesus, like your life has been transformed forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we love you and we thank you for your presence today. We thank you that you are here, that you are mending hearts, that you are healing hearts and minds. We thank you because you love us and that you take care of us. Now help us, Lord, to take this passion to the world. Help us, Lord, that this passion, this fire wouldn't stay within the four walls of this church, but as we leave this house today, we would see people and know that you, just like you love us, you love them. Help us to be a voice to preach the gospel. Arizona will be saved. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Amen. If you could be seated just for a couple more minutes. How many were so blessed this morning? I mean, even my spirit was just being so stirred and tears to my heart, my eyes, because just the love of God, amen, and that passion. Sometimes as oldie moldies, we lose that passion, right? Serving the Lord so long, you have to stoke that flame, and so that was such, I know it touched every one of us here, amen. I just encourage you, I heard a pastor say this one day, and it just really struck a chord in my heart. He said, give the Lord 1 year of your life if you're a new believer. Give him a year, because things don't change overnight, amen? But they will change, and your life will be different, and your heart will grow fonder of the Lord, and you'll grow mature in the Lord. But how many know it's not a one-time prayer that does it all, amen? It secures salvation, but let's give the Lord everything and watch him change your life, amen? Well, I have the opportunity to receive an offering for Pastor Israel, and I really want us to dig deep today, because I want you to know he came on his own dime. He bought his own airfare ticket, took care of everything. He said, I want to come to bless the church. He's asked for nothing. And he spent 4 hours with us yesterday pouring into us and then today pouring into us. So I want you to dig deep. How many know when you're in ministry, you need the blessings of God to come chase you down? And I believe this is good seed, good soil into his family and into his life. And so let's just send him off with a really awesome faith builder's blessing. Amen. And this is his heart. He wants to travel and just bless churches for free. That's a millennial talking kingdom. I think that's so powerful. So I know the Lord's going to bless him in all that he does, because God says, if you take care of my house, I'll take care of yours. And I believe that that's going to happen for him. Amen. So if you could put the QR code up again, if you want to give online right now, you can do that. You can write a check. You can give in the envelope or jump on later today on the app. I know many of you will do that too. And let's just bless him today. Amen. So Father, we thank you for the seeds that were sowed today, this weekend, into this house, into the team, Father God, and more, God, your word today that was so stirring and provoking. We thank you that the enemy will not steal the seeds that were planted in our hearts today, Father God, but they will flourish and grow, and this will be a house of passion, a heart for the lost, Father God, and we thank you for that. Bless Israel and his family. Bless his children, God, as he came to pour into this house. Lord, let him go back so refreshed, so filled. Let the blessings chase him down in the name of Jesus. We just send him forth, Father God, with your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's receive this offering. Listen, we got midweek service on Wednesday night. Welcome home class next Sunday. If you haven't been a part of that, it's at 9 o'clock right before church. Sign up for that. Learn a little bit more about your church. And then next Sunday, be a bringer. Amen. Bring somebody with you. So I'll go ahead and give them just a second to pass. Hallelujah. I need a joke. You want to do a take two right here, Pastor Israel? I'm usually not a loss for words, but our what, sweetheart? Oh, preach about the table. Oh, they're putting me on the spot. I know. Pastor Jennifer, I'm going to make you come up and do it. Pastor Jennifer. He put us on the spot yesterday. They had to preach on a water bottle or a table. It was pretty cool. I'm like, I'm a preacher, and that makes me nervous. I, like, started sweating, so... Don't call me up there. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, are we doing good? Praise God. All right, go ahead and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless them. I thank you for the joy that's in this house and all that you've done, Father God. Send us forth safely. Bring us back together to celebrate you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Have a wonderful week. Love you guys, and we'll see you soon.